Yes, 107.7. Welkom op KC Talk met jou gasheer Avril. Dit is nou elke donderdag tussen 7 en 8. En dan bespreek ons en ons praat oor kwellende en relevante kwesties wat vir my en vir jou raak in ons gemeenskap. So as enige iemand van julle is wat graag wil hê iets hoor gesels moet word, is hulle welkom om vir ons te kontak. Die nommer is 0824141077. Ons gesels vanaand oor die 2500 onderwysers wat volgende jaar sonder werk gaan sit. En dien nie weer saamgesels, ek het 'n reeds nommer genoem en ek sal weer vir jou noem. Dit is 0824141077, kan jy gerus dan ook saamgesels. En die naam van julle is wat dan ook hulle werkie gaan verloor, of jy weet van mense, is jy welkom dan ook om vir ons te kontak. Na die lied gaan ons luister na 'n klip van die Weskaapse minister van onderwys. Dit is minister David Meynier.
Your sound of the Winelands, KC 107.7.
Nog steeds hier op KC Talk met my en ons bespreek dan ook die gesprek gaan ook handel vanaand, so onder het onderwerp is dan ook die 2500 onderwijsers wat volgende jaar 2025 dan ook sonder werk gaan sit. So enige insette is hier welkom dan ook dit te lewe deur vir my te kontak. Dis 0824141077. Stuur die WhatsApp, ons is baie graag dit dan ook vra vir ons kundige wat ons later mee gaan gesels. Ja, ons gaan nou luister na die klip van die Weskaapse minister van onderwys. Dis David Meynier en daarna gaan ons luister na dit en dan gaan ons gesels met ons gas. Onthou die nommer is 0824141077.
The reduction in posts will mean that some contract teachers will not be reappointed after their contracts end on the 31st of December 2024. And some permanent teachers will be asked to move to another school where there is a suitable vacancy. We understand that this decision will result in difficult choices for our schools. It's not a decision that has been taken lightly, and we will do everything we can to fight for our teachers in the Western Cape.
This is KC 107.7 FM.
Yes, welcome back on KC Talk, and tonight we are talking about the 2,500 teachers who is going to lose their jobs in 2025, as we just heard by the Minister of Education here in the Western Cape. Our guest tonight is a Professor Aslam Fattar. He is a research professor in higher education transformation at University of Stellenbosch and a member of its Department of Education Policy Studies. Professor Fattar, welcome on KC. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and thank you very much for having me.
Prof, what specific actions do you believe the government should take to address the proposed teacher retrenchment, as we heard here by us in the Western Cape?
Well, thank you very much for the question and the opportunity. To answer that question requires a little bit of perspective, and that is, the question is, where is the nub of the problem here? And it seems to me, through considered exploration and research that I've done over the last two weeks or so, that the problem stands at the intersection of a government budgetary process that over the last 3-4 years and more have targeted what is called cutbacks, budgetary cutbacks in social service spending, including education, and therefore fiscal austerity in the educational system over the last couple of years. This has come to a head in 2024, when the budget shortfall, as you may have all seen, is now so alarming across the education system that the teachers that it can't afford can no longer be sustainable. Therefore, the entire government and its provinces have now been put into a position where it has to act drastically. So the primary cause of the matter is the fiscal reduction in the national budget and its proportion of that budget to education, right? That's the first issue. The second issue is the implementation at the provincial level and how different provinces have approached that implementation. For example, the Western Cape, in anticipation of an end of September every year announcement of post-revisions to schools, have in a sense, jumped in quickly in August to make the announcement of teacher cutbacks of 2,407 posts. And it has created a major, major catastrophe and problem in the system, because the eight other problems are now also scrambling because they have an end of September deadline. And my tradition is that the disaster, the catastrophe about teacher cutback will skyrocket right across the country as we stay upwards of between 15 and 20,000 teachers across the country in the face. So the problem is one, fiscal austerity and cutbacks over the last 3-4 years that's coming home now in 2024. And on the other hand, the nature of the implementation by provinces.
And Prof, how do you think the retrenchment of these people, these teachers, the 2,400 people and teachers, will impact the quality of education in the Western Cape here by us, especially in unresourced areas?
I come at this from a very personal perspective, and then I try to develop an academic sense. I was a teacher in the system in the 1990s who experienced rationalization, as it was then called, and the severe effects on the school, all the schools that it impacted upon. So the first a point of understanding is to make the differentiation between no-fee schools, quintiles 1, 2, and 3, and fee-paying schools, quintiles 4 and 5. It will have a differentiated impact, but let me make the point immediately, it will impact all schools, but particularly along these two axes, fee-paying and no-fee-paying, in different ways. In the fee-paying schools, what will happen, remember, even fee-paying parents are now, will pay upwards of R1,000 per month. They are under severe financial strain and economic strain in their families. So what will happen in those schools is that fees will immediately have to increase, and parents will struggle to pay those fees. There will be major shortfalls in even those schools. But that is fundamentally how those schools are going to address the teacher cuts in their particular schools. So they're going to have all sorts of problems, but at the end of the day, these so-called middle-class parents who are able to afford the fees at those schools, there will be less of a dramatic impact, but no less an impact. Your question and my question, perspective from where I come, my lived experience is working class schools, no fee schools, where those schools are in depressed environments. They are in environments where the economy and labor and unemployment and crime and so on, while all over the country, all over the spectrum, in those particular environments are very tough, and communities are struggling, some communities are collapsing, and so they are, because they're no fee-paying schools, they are not able to charge greater fees, and so they will have to absorb the cutbacks into the increased people-teacher ratios, increased class sizes, a decrease in teacher quality. Those schools will then experience high levels of morale, a loss of morale, high levels of teacher stress, and therefore, and having to deal with bigger classes, those schools will struggle to support the learning of those kids, and that will have a knock-on effect in communities, in community cohesion. So, in short, for that particular sector, the working class sector, teacher cutbacks are very detrimental to how those schools and those communities are going to function going forward if this thing comes to pass.
And even the ratio of teacher-learner in per class, it's like it will be very high. And as you also mentioned about the stress that the teacher will go through.
Yeah. So what will happen is because South Africa has committed itself in theory to a limitation on teacher-pupil ratios. It used to be about 34, 35. It's now about 36. That is, in theory, 1 to 36 per teacher. But when teacher, and that never has never obtained in schools, by the way, in implementation, in reality, teacher-pupil ratios are in excess of 1 to 45 and 1 to 50 already as we speak. So what will happen now when teacher cutbacks continue, when schools lose their teachers, is that those ratios and the class sizes will now increase exponentially, actually. In a case, for example, in PAL, I've learned today, losing five teachers, right? You lose five teachers immediately, class size increase, teacher people ratios increase, the workloads on teachers increase, they have to deal with a lot of well-being problems among students. Learning is going to be very difficult in those circumstances. So there is no positive story to be told, as you can imagine, about the impact of teacher cutbacks in our schools.
What is also a concern is the lack of outrage from political parties, teachers' unions, and community organizations about these proposed retrenchments. What do you think about that?
Well, exactly. So this little bit of history that you have to understand. At the dawn of 1994 democracy, South Africa was very hopeful that our country politically would adopt a sort of a reconstruction and development approach that would enable impoverished communities, poor black communities, to transform itself so that it can sustain wholesome livelihoods and good schools, right? And so the policy approach we anticipated was exactly that. However, very quickly, 95, 96, 97, South Africa adopted what was called self-imposed structural adjustment or self-imposed financial austerity already by about 1995 and 1996, which meant that less money would be made available because of the growth, economic growth power that we chose would be made available to social services. And what we found is that these communities were never provided, schools in these communities were never provided with the material basis to improve themselves on a long-term basis. This was also accompanied by very poorly framed and poorly informed policies for school governance, for school funding, for school quintiles, for mobilizing support. Yes, later on, about 10 years later, we had no fee schooling implemented with a government targeted operational cost in a particular way. But that didn't solve the problem, because what we have then found was a bifurcation, a division of the system into middle-class model fee schools, where the middle class is black and white, and so on, greater cohesion problems in those schools with racism and so on in those schools emerging, but those schools generally were functioning relatively well, if not without their problems. But the poorer schools over the last 8 years have always faced this fiscal austerity and so forth. This comes, the teacher cutbacks of 2024, the 1st of January 2025, comes on top of all of that. So it exacerbates the situation. Unions were sucked in. Unions start negotiations. They look at, they take a particular approach to it. Political parties adapt and they develop a kind of a more neoliberal orientation. In this particular 2022, 23, 24 round, unions were negotiating. The Western Cape Education Department and the unions were negotiating. I this morning spoke to two unions who said they are calling a dispute because the provincial government, Western Cape government, was negotiating on this teacher cutback in bad faith. They withdrew after the first round, and so on. And now they lodged a dispute. So there is now a dispute, and what are they disputing? They're disputing the process of consultation, firstly, and they're saying that the Western Cape consulted in bad faith. And secondly, there are also, one of the unions is disputing why contract posts were not made permanent over the last couple of years, as a result of an agreement between the ELRC, between the province and the unions. And they are arguing that was tactical, because now you can, because those teachers are not permanent, you can now slash them, because you're not going to slash permanent teachers, only contract teachers. But the unions are arguing that they're putting this in the ELRC as we speak. They're saying that was tactical, because you did not want to make them permanent, because you knew you were going to have to cut them. So we'll see how that plays itself out. And that is why the struggle, people like academics and media people and political people were all kind of co-opted into a kind of a silence over 30 years and also now. But now, teacher cutbacks, we can all see what the impact will be. So hopefully there will now be a greater outrage and a greater pushback.
Prof, in your view, what are the primary reasons behind the Western Cape's Education Department's decision for them to proceed with such significant retrenchments in this area of ours?
Right, so firstly, there's no doubt that the national fiscal situation coming from the national government over the last 3-4 years has been austerity. Now, if you study the budget, you will see how social services have been cut, progressively cut, or regressively cut over the last 3-4 years, and then provinces get their budget, right? So when the provinces get their budget and they run a shortfall, as the, all the provinces are, but the Western Cape provinces jumping out quickly for political reasons that I'll explain now, meant that the Western Cape government tried to preempt the process, they tried to get ahead of the process, and they tried to signal politically that they are not responsible for this. And as I said this, the third time I'm going to say this is a national budgetary problem, that's where the problem lies. And the Western Cape government tried to kind of preempt that, but in the process, according to the unions, protocols about consultation creating different other kinds of implementation problems. And the other provinces are only now going to confront their decisive cuts. The UKZN, Gauteng, the Northern Cape are facing presumably bigger cuts, but we don't know about it because they haven't confronted it yet. So the Western Cape will just push starting blocks, which creates for them a problem that they are now passing on the problem to national, and they're saying that's our problem. There's an interesting dynamic in the government of national unity where the national government minister of school education is a DA member, the provincial government is a DA member, but the finance minister who really over the last couple of years have been responsible with is an ANC minister. So the question is, how is the government of national unity going to deal with this, whereas the PA is already blaming this on the national government?
Okay, we're going for a break, and after the break we'll continue the conversation and also the discussion with speaker and our guest. That's Professor Aslam Fattar from the University of Stellenbosch. You're more than welcome to ask your questions. The number in studio is 082-414-1077. Casey Talk 107.7, and you're listening to Avril here on the show, and our guest is Professor Aslam Fattar, and we are discussing the 2,407 students or the teachers that will be losing their jobs next year. Prof, someone also asked a question the same as this one I'm going to ask you now, is what parallels do you see between the current situation and the teacher retrenchments of the 1990s, and how did those past retrenchments affect education system?
Yeah, the parallels are stark. The time period is different. The impacts are going to play itself out in similar and different ways. Remember, in the 1990s, the idea was that we have to drive equity in the system, because the former racialized system had whites receiving most of the money for teachers, and the black colored Indian parts less, and teacher and equity needed to be driven in the system. And so teacher rationalization was meant to achieve that, to move teachers around from the one part to the other part, create equity among the so-called race groups in 1994. That process didn't fulfill its ambitions. People did not want to move, people took it to court and so on and so forth, and eventually it was what is called a voluntary severance package that persuaded people, tried to persuade to leave the system voluntarily, right? And what that caused was that most of the experienced, qualified, as well as scarce subject teachers left the system, right? So it had the opposite effect of an equity effect. It had a shedding of teachers effect and not an equity effect. That logic then moved into schools and the way schools then functioned. And it is on that basis that we were unable to establish a financial and funding platform for poor schools to establish a good quality education and learning and teaching. What that meant was that what we saw was that people who could afford fees to go to other schools, Model C schools and so on, and left the system and moved out of the system. Right there, we established a divided education system. What is different now is that the teacher cutbacks are now going into a divided system that is qualitatively divided into a middle-class system that's functional with its problems and a working class for the majority of the black poor in this country, which is dysfunctional. So these cutbacks are now going to deepen the quality or the lack of quality experience in the school. And so teacher motivation is going to go down. Teacher stress will be down. These are similar things that happened in the 90s, but I dare say that years later, the impact is going to be much, much deeper and much more negatively than what it was already bad in the 1990s.
And how do you propose that the communities and also the schools should adapt to the anticipated increase in class sizes, as we discussed earlier, and potential loss of experienced teachers?
Well, there's no good story to be told, right, about how communities can and should and must adapt. If your political environment and your economic environment and your budgetary decisions do not support communities, then you leave communities on their own and by themselves in the solidarities amongst themselves to survive. So it is the communities that are going to be more cohesive, more focused, more able to come to kind of span the gaps and mitigate at the conditions at school that's going to survive a little bit better, but that's not going to guarantee the flourishing of schools at all. So we're going to have mitigated school environments, and these people are all going to suffer. We are staring in the face, in the absence of politics and economics and the budget that comes to the party in service of pro-poor schools, we're staring in the face the communities struggling to respond to this particular, and it's not going to be easy for those communities. Some communities will, given the particular circumstances that they're in, some communities will respond better than others. But it does not look good, and we have to make politics. We have to kind of raise our voices collectively and individually, as school communities and governing bodies and unions, and in our political parties and so on, in order to make politics so that the era of fiscal austerity can be stopped, and so that pro-poor financial policies can be driven into the system so that quality and learning and teaching can be enhanced in poor schools and so on and so forth. And that is the debate that we have to have in this community. But it's not going to be just a debate. We have to leverage with our political action in response to a very bad situation.
And do you think that the media and civil society should play a role in mitigating the effects of these teachers' retrenchments that is on the line?
Yes, no, look, let me speak about the media. So the media's got a very important role. It's got to track the complexity and the depth and the widespread nature of the causative effects of this particular problem. The media sometimes is much too glib and much too believe politicians too easily. So, for example, if I didn't scratch around today, I wouldn't have known that there are about 2,000 contract teachers in the system. And question is, given the agreement between at the ERRC, why wouldn't those teachers made permanent over the last 2 years? Now that they're not permanent, they're now contract teachers, they are going to be shed. So then the minister can say, we are not shedding any permanent teachers. We are only shedding contract teachers. And permanent teachers will be moved between this school and that school. But those contract teachers need not have been contract teachers if the agreement over the last 2-3 years, according to the unions, who are now going to the ELRC, was implemented. Right? And so media must dig a little bit deeper. The second thing that I want the media to do, what I've been doing over the last 2 weeks, is to tell stories about how these teacher cutbacks will be an arc affecting schools on the ground. Go into those schools and reveal the complexity and the devastation of the impact so that we can understand in the public domain how devastating this is, so that we can kind of show this up and show a mirror to ourselves, we can make better policy and political decisions. Because in the absence of a media that goes deeper, we are not going to get the next. civil society, we've got to come together, we've got to speak as one. Unions have got to get out of the mollycoddling of bad political decision space. And they have to ask fundamental questions, lodge disputes, challenge, find their voices as unions and not be co-opted into the space. Researchers like myself, we've got to do depth-felt research. We've got to come up with alternative financial and educational scenarios. We've got to help with a deeper understanding and do the research about how we can fix communities, fix societies, fix schools, and get quality education in the system. That, I feel, is a bit of a medium-term project, and perhaps one silver lining out of all of this is that we can start that process right now.
And Prof, what is your response to arguments that suggest that these retrenchments might be a necessary step to address budgetary constraints or inefficiencies in the education system?
Right, interesting. Budgetary constraints comes from fiscal cutbacks on the national budget. So I don't really have sympathy for that argument. I know it's there. I know we live inside of budgetary constraints, but what do those budgetary constraints represent? It represents the fact that we are making decisions about the size of our social spending that has a negative effect on poor communities, and I think that needs to be challenged, right? Efficiencies, every system has efficiencies. If you look at the Western Cape Education Department, they run systemic tests and so on that cost millions and millions of rand that can be shed, right? For example, what are the programs in government departments can be shed? However, and that must be done. That must be done. We must shed the inefficiencies in the system and fund what is truly necessary to enhance and protect quality learning. Having said that, none of the efficiencies that you're going to identify in the system is going to solve that first problem. It will help, but what you require is a larger fiscal distribution of an equity budget to appropriate schools and to give schools an opportunity to employ teachers that will allow you to establish baseline for quality teaching in those poor environments.
And are there any long-term solutions from your side that you can recommend for preventing such drastic measures in the future, for ensuring that not more than these things that will happen in future, and a supportive environment for both teachers as well as students?
Firstly, we live in very, very, very bad global times. We live in a time of what I call genocide on the people of Palestine, streamed live on our phones. We live in very, very, and that needs to be opposed with all our might. We live in times of planetary sustainability challenges. We live in a time of communities coming loose at the seams on questions of drugs and violence and so on and so forth. For the long term, we need to build solidarity. Solidarity across all communities, in the Pau community, across the Bird River, to reach out to those communities and invite ourselves and them into a space of solidarity that will address these longer term problems. In the educational space, pro-poor budgets, pro-poor social spending, alleviating conditions of poverty and immiseration of poor communities. Civil society and community, middle class communities have got to come, span the gaps and contribute to that. Government's got to be put under pressure. And we have to establish just a kind of a decency, a politics of decency. It means that no child should go hungry. No child should go to a school where they will be shortchanged in terms of their learning and teaching. That is a cross-community solidarity challenge that stares us in the face at this particular moment in time.
Any closing remarks from your side, Professor Fatar?
No, that's it. I really want to thank your radio station. I listened a little bit to the previous hour as I was waiting for you. Wonderful work, and I thank you very much. I would love to continue participating in your programs because I think you're doing a great job. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Yes, Professor from ISAT, also thanks for your time and also your availability to give us these valuable information on tonight's topic. Be safe and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, and thank you very much to the listeners. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The city's favorite, KC 107.7.
Ja, en ons sal die afgelope tyd al is dit om almal se mond en almal se tong en almal praat oor die 2400 onderwysers wat bedank gaan word. Daar's heelwat oplossings wat ook al gevind probeer word. Ons gesels met Deputy Chairperson, Deputy Secretary of SADAL in the Western Cape wat ook met ons gesels het oor hierdie krisis wat in die hoe kan ek sê in spesifiek in die Weskaap is die getal onderwysers wat ook afgedank gaan word nie reeds genoem 2400 en daar is heel wat onderhandelinge wat plaasvind tussen die twee, dis nou die onderwijsdepartement in die Weskaap, sowel as SADAL, wat oplossings probeer vind. Onder andere sê hulle daar moet gekat word aan sekere expenses, en, want dit kan een effect het op die, hoe kan ek sê, op die beleerders, sowel as die onderwijsers. Denk professor Vataar het ook al oor gepraat, dat die ratio onderwijser en leerling gaan dan definitief dan ook vergroot word en dan die gevaar, nie gevaar die ander kant, is dan ook die feit dat van die onderwysers dan ook verplaas kan word na ander areas toe. Heel wat stress, heel wat dingetjies wat geplaan word en dan word het, soos ek ook gelees het dat daar gedreig word van optogte as daar nie een oplossing gevind gaan word nie. Jou opinie, hoe voel jy daar oor? Denk jy dis een regte besluit wat geneem word om te bespaar, want die cutting het van boe afgekom van die nationale tesorie, waar daar gesê word, hulle krijg sê 'n bietjie minder geld. So, die oplossing, as jy enige raad het, is jy welkom saam met ons te gesels. Ons nummer is 0824-1077. Voor ons gaan groet, gaan ons luister na een lied van Cee-Lo Green, en daarna moet ons ongelukkig mekaar groet.
This is KC 107.7 FM.
Nou, dat is die einde van KC Talk en ons was in gesprek met professor Aslam Vataar. En Wayne Heswick en sy span, dis van Woolies & Gallagher Begrafenisdienste, is volgende met die program Die Lewensuur Glas. Jy moet een fantastische aand verder het. Hou vir jouself warm, ons gesels volgende week en donderdag weer.